The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul. Yes, it does. How you doing, everybody? This is Terry Raposa at KCNR Studios with Jefferson State of Mind, broadcasting live from downtown Reading, 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better, and 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're streaming live on KCNR1460.com, and you can go right to your computer and go to 1460.com. And listen live all over the world. How you doing, Liam?
I'm doing great.
We're waiting here for my partner, Wynn Carpenter. He is on the road. He was on 44 when he just texted me.
Oh, no.
And, you know, I mean, it happens out there. I wonder if he hit some weather.
Well, it's rainy.
Yeah.
The roads aren't necessarily as safe as they normally are, so.
Well, anyway, we do have a little bit of time here where we are going to do something that may be short-lived, and that is that we are honoring the citizen of the week, real citizens, because as most of you know, when you go to a board of supervisor meeting, you have to sit through the first 15 minutes of people who are doing their job being honored for doing their job. Now, that's really not a slight. It's just that the people we pay that work at the county make a very, very good living. They have a very good retirement program. They have a tremendously good medical program, which I believe they retire with, and all those great things, and they're honored every week for doing what they're supposed to be doing. Which is fine, and I respect that. I think you should honor them. But what about the citizens, the people who the Board of Supervisors actually serves? Well, the thing that we're beginning to understand now is I believe when this new board is seated, that this particular new board will be doing the same thing and honoring these folks, but not doing it every week, maybe once a month, something like that, which makes a little more sense. Anyway, I'd like to honor Liz Walker, her dad Dick, and mother Miriam. What great people they are, great patriots, and they go to the Board of Supervisors meetings, they speak when they feel the need to. Liz is a tremendous researcher and absolutely a jewel, and a real jewel that we have here in our county, of somebody who does some great research, articulates her point, and a lot of times sets the board straight. So hats off to Liz Walker, her mom, and her dad. Hey, Wynn, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing okay. How about you?
I'm doing good.
Good.
Yeah. Got an interesting morning. Hopefully the people who have ever been involved in the state of Jefferson are listening to this program, and if they're not, and you happen to be someone who knows somebody who's ever been involved in the state of Jefferson.
Or if you want to get involved.
Or if you want to get involved, share this with your friends. It's very, very important to do that. This program will archive, what, Liam, about 10 minutes after we're done?
Something like that, yep.
Sorry, I missed that.
I said, well, this program will probably
archive.
Archive, what, 10 minutes after we're done?
It takes about 5 to 10 minutes for it to show up. But yeah.
So you figure by 10 after 10, this is archived forever and ever. Hallelujah. Getting you in the spirit. So anyway, we have an interesting program today, and I want to start off with a couple of things. As we look at what's happening in the United States now, even the city of actually, the suburb of Atlanta, which is Buckhorn, it's a suburb, is wanting to secede from Atlanta because of the tremendous amount of crime. In this suburb, there happens to be just to where people are so afraid to go to the grocery store that that they carry a gun every time they go. I mean, it's gotten to the point to where Bill White, who is a gentleman who is leading this this particular endeavor, is really moving toward a position of saying, hey, you know, we just can't take it anymore. The city of Atlanta, they have a policy of not wanting to fund the police, a policy of being very laxed on crime. And I think this is sort of a nationwide thing. Fact is that, you know, as you look around, there's so many movements. In Illinois, for example, there is the State of Lincoln, along with New Illinois. In Texas, there's the Texas Nationalist Movement. You know, you look through Idaho, there's with Oregon and Idaho, there's the Greater Idaho Movement. You know, you look at what's going on. Also, going back to Illinois, there's another movement that basically is called the State of Lincoln.
And what about the one up in Washington, the State of Washington? The eastern counties wanted to separate.
And the eastern counties wanted to. So we're having a lot of this. In fact, there was a poll done, and I'll start with this. There were two polls that were actually done by Brightline Watch and YouGov. And they found that 37% nationwide of the people would probably think twice whether they would want their state to join the union or not. I'm going to say that again. 37% of the people polled in these two polls stated that they believed that their state should not enter the union as it is now if, in fact, they had a choice. Well, do they have a choice? We're going to talk a little bit about that.
Because
today,
you're entering moral corruption.
Yeah, you may be, my friend.
Why would we want to enter California the way it is now?
Well, I'm glad you said that, because California has 58 counties for 39.5 million people. Illinois has 102 counties for 12.8 people. Texas has 254 counties for 29.1 million. And Oregon has 46 counties for 4.2. Idaho has 44 counties for 1.8. Do you think the representation is a little better there?
A wee bit.
A wee bit. The insanity of what's going on now begs to there's a couple questions that really have to be asked. And Daniel Miller, who's in the Texas Nationalist Movement, that's getting a lot of traction, is talking about secession, and not necessarily secession as in a, you know, on the, what that word a lot of people thinks it means, but secession in the way that they want to leave this, they want to leave the union because they don't believe the union is following the Constitution. Well, there's not much argument for that. But here's a shocker for you. We all hear about the word secede, and I know that Wynn, you and I have defended the word saying we're not seceding, we don't want to secede.
Right.
You know, we
want to leaving the country.
Well, now, wait a minute here. There's nothing in the Constitution of the United States that says you can't.
No, you're right.
There's nothing there.
Right.
All right, and secession was actually, it was actually in 1869.
We're not saying you can't, but you're leaving the country.
Well, now, wait a minute. Okay, you have Texas v. White, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And in Texas v. White in 1869, the Supreme Court ruled, actually it was their opinion, that the Civil War sort of ended everything and you just can't leave the Union. Well, what in the Constitution says that? And, again, there's no amendment to the Constitution that says you can or can't. Now, the idea of a union, I mean, if you look at the 10th Amendment, right, anything that isn't given to the federal government, which is our creation as states,
is inherent in the people.
Yes. and the states have the states. The states, again, going back to, and that's something we've been missing, I think, for a long time, states are synonymous with countries.
Yes, they are.
You know, and I've said this 100 times, you know, the 13 states got together. They created the federal government. The federal government and the states and the people don't have a contract.
Right.
There is a compact between the states creating the federal government. That's where we've got it wrong. So really, is the word secession a bad word? I don't think it is anymore after the research I've done. Now.
Well, it's never been a bad word. It describes what the action is that you want to take.
Okay, now we talk about the West Virginia model. For example, let's go to Chicago. Okay, with Illinois, with the new Illinois, which is a new movement, and G.H. Merritt is the chairwoman of that. I haven't got a hold of her yet. I did get a hold of Lawrence Joyce, who is the head of State of Lincoln, and we'll talk about that a little bit. But you know, when you look at G.H. Merritt and her movement, they want to go on the West Virginia model. Well, let's clarify the West Virginia model. I'll break it down for you so everybody understands that. When West Virginia told the Congress of the United States that they wanted to stay with the United States and become their own state, West Virginia, they didn't have to get permission from Virginia because Virginia had seceded from the Union. Mm-hmm. However, Virginia was still recognized as a state by the United States government. They were still recognized as a state. The legislative body of the state of Virginia, they're the ones who had said, well, we're not playing with you anymore. We're not going to be in this anymore. So they became illegitimate in the simple fact of their request to not be legitimate as far as in the Union of the United States. Okay. That's what they did. That's the explanation of it, not just that the, West Virginia wanted to stay and Virginia wanted to leave. Virginia never really left as far as a state in the mind or in the process. What left was the legislative body that controlled that.
Okay, there you go.
And I think a lot of people kind of get that wrong. I was guilty of that. So how does that equivocate into what Ms. Merritt wants to do using the West Virginia model, because the legislative body of the state of Illinois has not said, well, we don't recognize the United States or the government of the United States, the federal government, as having any jurisdiction over us. They haven't said that. So how do you use the West Virginia model there? Question.
You tell us.
What?
Tell us. How do you do it?
You don't. How can you? How can you do it? Okay, so that goes back to New California. New California is trying to use the West Virginia model. Under what pretense? The California is still recognized as a legitimate state in the eyes of and the legislative body is, more importantly, mm-hmm. recognized by the United States government as part of the Union because they're applicable to that. So how do we use the West Virginia model unless the state government is shown to not want to be part of the United States government?
Hmm.
Interesting, huh?
Yeah.
So, I mean, if we start looking at things on how we can get this done, we go back to, let's talk about Buckhorn Atlanta a little bit and Bill White. I mean, Buckhorn Atlanta is saying we just had enough. You know, we're tired of there was like 37 shootings. All these different things are going on, and it's a very nice suburb, and they just can't deal with Atlanta law anymore because they don't have any police that can come there. They defunded the police in Atlanta, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
What, they voted to defund the police, or did it just happen by a bureaucrat?
Well, it could have, yeah. It's very simple. They defunded. And here's a question I asked, and I'm glad you brought that up. Because the way California works,
mm-hmm.
at least the way I understand it, and tell me if I'm wrong, is when the money comes back that we send down for our property taxes, blah, 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 blah,
mm-hmm.
it comes back to us. And the state of California says, this is what you need to do with your money, with the exception of this percentage of your money, and then you can fund that with anything else. Oh,
That's correct. I've got
Mark Barrett on the line. Sorry, Mark. Good thing that Liam has that yellow light in here. Shoot away. I knew you wanted to weigh in on this. Go ahead.
Well, it's the suburb of Atlanta is Buckhead. And
and
it's pretty affluent part of Atlanta.
Right.
I've been there many times, and you know, it's the same thing that Measure EE in San Bernardino County, and I helped those guys with that. The reason it passed was because the county gives certain amounts of money to the state of California, as it does every county, and then a certain amount of money is returned to them in discretionary spending, as in every county. And what San Bernardino alleges against the state of California is the same thing that Buckhead is alleging against the city of Atlanta. It's just on a smaller scale, that they're not returned a fair share of the money they pay to the state. And in fact, they're saying the amount of money that we contribute to the budget of this state, we deserve a certain level of service in return for that with the money that you deem to give back to us. Or, in other words, you take our money and then you give a portion of it back to us and you keep the rest to do whatever the heck you want with it. And that's not commensurate with the amount of money we give you.
I've got a question on the discretionary spending.
Go ahead.
Okay, the question on the discretionary spending is, when the money comes back to the counties in California, because I know this isn't the case in Illinois, let's say that Siskiyou County gets their money returned to them and they have 17%, probably lower than that, but 17% discretionary spending. What is the jurisdiction of what they can spend that on? Or is that just sort of the general fund and they spend it wherever they think they need it? Or is there a certain allotment that they have to give to the sheriff's office, a certain allotment that by state they have to give to the DA's office, a certain allotment they have to give to the ROV office? Do you know the answer to that one?
Yeah, by definition, discretionary spending is spent with discretion of the county supervisors. They can spend it on whatever they want.
That's what I thought. Go ahead.
And in certain departments, every department is asking for more money every year so that they can hire more employees and pad their pension programs, and you guys know all about that,
sure.
Reading, as we here in Siskiyou County. But the problem is, when you give the state a dollar and they give you back 11 or 12 cents, you're not able to fund departments the way you, as the people on the ground, the people who are there and know what your people need, you can't fund these departments adequately. But instead, the 88 cents that you don't get to say how it's spent is spent how the state demands it to be spent. And quite frankly, like with our county, hell, the state of California doesn't even know where our county is.
That's
so
true.
How do they know what we need? And they're blowing it on stuff that we not only don't want, don't need, but we're vehemently against. For example, saving the planet so that the Chinese and the Africans can continue to pollute with reckless abandon. Or they're spending the money. Oh, well, here's a good example. The non-discretionary money, in a sense, is being spent by the state $27 billion a year on illegal alien services and less than $1 billion a year on veteran services.
Hmm.
You know, stuff like that. Well, the county of San Bernardino is saying, hey, wait a minute, they're raising the BS flag, as we all should.
Mm-hmm.
And their measure passed. It was like 53 or 54%, and I was on several podcasts down there explaining to them the process of state split, why it's necessary, why people have the fundamental human right to do it, and why it should be done when the government not only fails to serve the people, but is illegitimate and seditious in nature by passing laws that they know in advance, they know to be unconstitutional.
Well, when they pass those laws that we believe are seditious and insurrection, when they pass those laws, is that sedition? The host on the show before me said that a lot of that is treason. How can that be treason? How does that work? Go ahead.
I think it's a matter of degree whether you call it treason.
Because
that's an action taken against legitimate government knowingly and willingly. Treason is a time of war thing, and the definition
exactly.
of treason legally demands that there be a certain number of witnesses, and it has a very narrow definition.
Right.
So I would suggest treason is probably a little harder to prove.
Yeah.
It may well be treason, but
right.
you couldn't prove it. An insurrection involved violence. Now, you could argue that some of the laws that California legislature is knowingly passing, and let's say letting, 7 or 8 or 10,000, however many it is, known sex offenders out of jail without serving their sentences and destroying the sex offender registry,
mm-hmm.
and people are harmed because
mm-hmm.
of that. Well, I don't know. You could say there might be violence involved in that, but, you know, the legal definition probably be harder to prove in
mm-hmm.
court.
Exactly.
However, when the state legislature knowingly passes laws that are unconstitutional, or knowingly deprives counties of their fair share of the money that they need to function and as their supervisors determine they need to do it, to me is seditious. And the people of San Bernardino had enough, so they passed Measure EE, and they say that they want to withdraw from the state of California and join the state of Nevada. I was trying to now this is a referendum. It means nothing legally, but it is a powerful statement by the population. And we have 23 counties in the state of Jefferson that declared that they want to withdraw from the state of California because, quite frankly, the state is a seditious government. They knowingly pass unconstitutional laws, and they're barred from doing that by Article 2, Section 1 of the California Constitution, Article 3, Section 1 of the California Constitution, by the United States Constitution itself. So when these legislators knowingly and willingly pass unconstitutional laws that they know are unconstitutional, what is the recourse of the average citizen? Do you have any recourse when the state school system knowingly allows people to corrupt, morally corrupt your children by teaching them the joys of anal sex in elementary school? I mean, what are your responsibilities as citizens?
Can I answer that?
Let me finish my sentence.
Okay, go ahead.
When you see knowingly seditious, harmful, perhaps violently harmful behavior occur towards your family, your children, and your community by the passage of unconstitutional firearms self-defense laws, unconstitutional tax laws, unconstitutional property use laws, unconstitutional education laws, and you see that, what's your responsibility as a citizen?
Okay, that's a great point. The school boards have control over all the stuff you just said. The school boards have control. We have a supervisor, Tim Garmin, who is the supervisor in District 2, who was the chairman of the school board in Happy Valley District. And he told the state to go pound sand on mandates and things that they were doing and said they wouldn't do that. The school boards have control even of the curriculum, and the school boards can say all the things that you just said about doing all these things to our children by saying, no, we're not going to let you. Now, the state, and that's what they're fixing to do. We just got 7 new school board members, all of whom have never run for office before. A couple of them are mama bears you don't want to mess with. And I think that the deal is local government, as you have said, since I've known you, that local government is the key. And that's kind of where we wanted this program to go, because everybody's saying, how do we fight this thing? We fight it within the county. There's some jurisdiction right there that most people don't even know. They think the state lays this stuff on you. You got to do it. No, you don't do it. You say no. Second Amendment. I know that there is a resolution to be a Second Amendment sanctuary county, which means everything goes. These laws are null and void. They're unconstitutional. We have 4 people that probably, most likely, will sign off on that, which means that we're going to have to deal with the sheriff now to see if he'll comply with the Constitution of the United States. But if the board does it...
But didn't he take an oath to that?
He did take an oath to it, but you know our sheriff, and I don't want to get into that. So a lot of these things, again, and that was the whole point of this, is to talk about how we can get our country back by getting our counties under control, back to the people. Because here's what I... This is... And tell me where I'm going wrong here, because I probably am, because I don't really have total knowledge on this, but when you're talking about sedition against the government, a governing body, or insurrection against the governing body, if the governing body is criminal, how do you, you know, if we're trying to disrupt or get rid of a government body, they could say that if they believe that they comply with the rule of law, which they don't, then the citizen has no recourse, I think, other than to control the county and just basically give them the middle finger. What say you?
Well, resistance to tyranny is obedience to God.
Yep.
So you have a moral obligation when you live in a state that has publicly stated that if a minor child can somehow arrive within the borders of California, that the state will use taxpayers' money, because remember, Governments produce nothing. Governments don't produce income. Governments don't generate income. Governments simply take money from people and give it to other people that they think need it more than the people that earned it to start with. And so when you live in a state that says if a minor child can somehow succeed, oh, maybe through human trafficking or some other method, to arrive within the borders of California, the state will help them change their gender surgically. Or if a minor child can arrive somehow within the borders of the state of California, the state will help them abort their unborn child with your money. So what's your responsibility in local government when the state itself is getting your money, which you willingly give them because you have to sign the check before you mail it, and then they use that money to murder the innocent or to maim and alter children's gender without their parents' knowledge and without their parents' permission. And you have school teachers who have been able to disguise the misgendering of a child and use that ability to help a child change his gender without your permission and without your knowledge.
Well, you've got to have doctors that'll do that and school teachers that'll do that. Well, it goes to
they do.
Oh, hold your thought. I mean, this is great stuff. Hold your thought because we've got to go off to a break. We have a yellow light in here, Mark, and it flashes at us when we're supposed to go to a break or somebody's on the phone. So I'm actually being trained to pay attention to that. So anyway, my friends, stay with us through the break here. Time has come.
For 51.
See you in a few.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by your friends at the Reading Civic Auditorium. For tickets and show info, visit ReadingCivic.com and Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlu's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco M. Brew.
Merry Christmas from Maaco. With the shopping season underway, tight parking lots can lead to minor fender benders, door dings, or even vehicle scratches. And Maaco Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center at 3045 Crossroads Drive has the perfect Christmas gift or stocking stuffer. A gift certificate from Maaco, which can be applied to a new paint job or use it to repair dents, dings, and damage. Uh-oh, better call Maaco at 530-226-0992. That's 530-226-0992. Merry Christmas from Maaco.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Get this state broken up. And boy, we're not the only ones. We have a whole litany of different states that are wanting to do the same thing we do.
We're going to go stage right.
We are. And now, Wynn has a couple questions for you, Mark, and a couple of really good observations. Go ahead, Wynn.
Well, if we have these doctors doing these procedures illegally on a minor without parental permission, and just the fact that they're doing it is abhorrent anyway, but if they're doing that, whether it's gender, well, it's not. You can't even reassign a gender. You can remove a part or add a part. That's all you can do because your DNA is what it is. You're either male or female. That's it. And if they're trying to alter you to be the other, they can't, but they're going to cut you up or do whatever they need to do to make that somewhat somehow work. So if they're doing that, who's paying for that? And how is that being done? Are all these kids that are having these procedures done, do they have families that are, you know, paying this big chunk of change to these doctors to have that done? Or is there a governing agency that is paying for these procedures so these doctors can do what they're doing, and they're on the hook for doing that, and they're part of their reassignment, if you will, process for all these kids? How does that work? And if it is, where are they getting the money? Is it coming through the local channels? And if it is, especially for the government, say the county, where we can do forensic audits and we can find out where the paper trail leads by looking at all the expenditures that are done in different departments. And sometimes it's even the departments that you would not even think would have anything to do with it is where the money is coming from, and somebody there is signing that check. And who would those people be, and why are they signing checks for something like that? So those are the kind of things that we need to dig deep on and find out what's really going on with our taxpayer dollars, plus which, why don't we as a county, you know, the Board of Supervisors could instruct their tax collector not to send the money to Sacramento. We'll keep what we need here, and if we have any resource left over, we'll send a percentage of that to Sacramento so Sacramento can do what they need to do with whatever pittance of money that would come from Shasta County. That would be my plan.
Well, I mean, I like the plan. I would say that probably a certain percentage of these gender reassignment surgeries are funded by the parents who have money and are willing participants in this pedophilia, in my opinion, and child molestation, in my opinion. And so a certain percentage of them are private pay, and then probably a percentage of them are Medicare and Medicaid, which is not really within the purview of the county. It's a state program. And the state has declared its intent to do these surgeries. And just as the state has declared its intent to spend your money welcoming illegal aliens and making sure that for $27 billion a year, they have everything they need when they break the law to come here, which reinforces the seditious nature of this government because Title 8, 1324 prevents 13, actually 21 through 28 in various aspects, prevents this type of behavior. But what do they care? They're not held accountable. You can't hold them accountable because you don't have enough representation to hold them accountable, and that's the whole point of breaking the state in half.
Yeah,
and we have to go back to those three court cases that did this to us in the beginning under the command of Chief Justice Earl Warren, a former governor of California, a former attorney general of California, who never read the California Constitution and had no idea what it said when he stewarded these cases. And so you have a situation now in the state of California and, in fact, in every other state, which Justice Frankfurter, odd name, but that is the guy's name, declared that if we do this, we'll create a country that has an entirely city point of view. And so now you have a nation that's run politically by about 15 large cities where voter fraud is easy, where voter fraud disappears into the background noise when it's done, where it's very tough to be accountable when before in the state of California and in 39 other states at least that I know of for sure, they had the federal model of government within the state where each county had some multiple of state senators. And then the lower house had government by apportioned by the people. And in California, that worked because none of the stupid stuff got as far as the governor's desk to sign. And no matter how big the idiot is in the governor's chair, and by gosh, we've got a pretty big idiot there now that is supported by state employee unions, one of the largest voting blocks in California are unions, California Nurses Association, California Teachers Association, CalPERS, and the people who are vested in CalPERS all vote for these people. And their families vote for them, and their relatives vote for them because they don't want to disturb the great deal they got going.
Can we go back to the three court cases? And the reason I want to go back there is because, yesterday I investigated, talked to, was on the phone with several different people in different states that are wanting to have some kind of movement to change their state to separate from their state. Texas wants to secede from the entire United States and go back to being a republic. Before Baker versus Carr, what was the case just before that?
Well, Baker versus Carr was the first case.
And then Reynolds versus Sims was the last.
That was the case. First, Baker versus Carr was the case where the federal judiciary, the Article III courts,
right,
gave themselves the power to intervene in state elections. They
right.
have no such power under the Constitution
right.
of the United States.
Right.
And then the next case was Gray versus Sanders or
it.
Westerberry versus Sanders.
Right.
There was a substitution of plaintiff there somewhere along the line. But Gray versus Sanders said that that's where the principle of one man,
one vote
came from. And the principle of one man, one vote, Justice Clarence Thomas said in Abbott versus Evenwell, and even though Evenwell lost the case, Justice Thomas said he would love to see another lack of representation case come before the Congress because we've been defending the principle of one man, one vote for 50 years,
mm-hmm.
and it's nowhere in the Constitution.
Nowhere.
So here's the deal with one man, one vote, and this is a misnomer, and it was created as such by the Warren Court in order to put an idea into people's minds. People always have one vote. They've always had one vote. When you vote once, one man, one vote. But the difference was, before the Westerberry, the Baker, Westerberry, and Reynolds cases, you voted your one vote for the senator that represented your county. In the next door county, that guy voted his one vote for the senator that represented his county. But under Gray versus Sanders, they said one man, they morphed this one man, one vote principle into no one's vote in any county should have less, quote, weight than someone else's vote in another county. In other words, you could not have representation within a state that was for a specific county, that everyone's representation had to be spread out by apportionment of people in every office in the state. So we could no longer have our own state senator. It took a million people to vote for a state senator and another million to vote for another state senator. And the result of that is the county of Los Angeles has 15 state senators and the northern third of California has two.
And that's
so
15 out of 40, folks. That's 15
right,
senators out of 40.
That's almost a third of
yeah,
the representation in the
yep.
state senate in California,
more than a
just
third.
In one county, where previous to
right.
that, you used your one vote to vote for the senator in Shasta County, and we used our one vote
right.
to vote for the senator in Siskiyou County. And there were only very small exceptions to that, counties that were terribly small, like Alpine County that has like 1,500 people. They were lumped in with another county, but those counties had to be contiguous, and they were only the smallest counties that did that. I think there were three, and it couldn't be more than three counties. That was the other part of that federal model of government.
Right. Right.
And so the Warren Court declared that unlawful. Well, think about this. The state of Wyoming has two United States senators, and then their apportionment in the House of Representatives is based upon representation by a count of the people. However, no state will have less than one. So, for example, states that have less than, I don't know what it is in the United States House now, it's like 500,000 people for each congressman, but they are apportioned one, and they call them a member at large when the state doesn't have enough people to legitimately have a congressman, I think it is. So
okay.
it's something like that.
Okay.
So now we get to Reynolds versus Sims. So the one man, one vote destroyed the federal model of government within the state even though the states that authored the Constitution invented the federal model of government for the country. But Warren said that counties are not allowed to have representation for each county because counties are simply political arms of the state. They're not legal subdivisions of the state. Well, once again, he never read the California Constitution.
Because it says we're legal subdivisions, 11, right. That's right.
Article 11, Section 1 says counties are legal subdivisions of the state,
right.
And they have a legal description for each county.
Right.
So then we get to Reynolds versus Sims, and that was where, after Gray versus Sanders, Warren said, well, this is it. No state will buck the system anymore because they'll be afraid that the federal government will step in. Well, 39 court challenges later, the Reynolds case came up, and that was shepherded to the Supreme Court for the purpose of putting a nail in the coffin of liberty in the United States and a nail in the coffin of states' rights. And what the Reynolds case did was said the federal government has power to nullify state election processes and to intervene in the apportionment of state elections.
We do have a question. We do have a question. Yeah. Okay, the question is, and I was even asked this yesterday by Lawrence Joyce, who's the, I guess, chairman or whatever it is for the state of Lincoln in Illinois. If there are people that are saying if we just got rid of Reynolds versus Sims, everything would be okay. Now, I know that's not the case, and can you explain why?
Well, Reynolds simply gave the federal government the power to intervene in state elections anytime they didn't like how it went, and they've done that many times now. It is the three cases in total creates the mess that we're in, and that's what Justice Frankfurter said. He said that if we do this, the nation will be run by the largest cities because that's where all the people are. They all vote in block. They all have a tendency to vote liberal or progressive or socialist or communist, however you want to classify them. And so you have a situation, for example, in California, that Sacramento, San Francisco, and Los Angeles, everyone else has to do what they say. In Oregon, it's even worse. Salem and Portland, those two counties, have enough votes to outvote the entire rest of the state, no matter what people want, no matter what they do. So, for example, in Siskiyou County, when Los Angeles, Sacramento, and San Francisco want to save the wolves, they let the wolves go in Siskiyou County, and we don't have any say over that because we don't have any representation that's effective at the state level. When they wanted to build a casino in Yreka, California, they asked the Los Angeles state senator to sponsor the bill because we voted no. 90% of the people here voted no to the casino in a local referendum. So they went to the California State Senate. They got a Los Angeles state senator. I wonder how much that cost them. I don't know, but it cost them. And he stood up and said, hey, we want a casino in Yreka for this tribe, and nobody's against it. And you couldn't even email the guy to voice your opposition because the emails bounced back automatically because your zip code is not in his district.
Right.
So he not only doesn't represent you, he's telling you to go to hell, and he's going to do whatever he wants to in your community, whether it represents you or not, and you don't have any say in it.
You know, and I think the point you just made is excellent. And folks, you got to understand that when, you know, you're writing all these particular senators and all these people that are, you know, maybe in another state, or we always get those kinds of emails, or even in a different district, when you mail that to them with your zip code, it gets kicked over to your guy. So if you want to send something to another representative, say you want to send something to Gallagher and you're in District 1, which is Dally's district, he'll just kick it to her. They don't really even have to read it. They just kick it back over and look at where it was sent from. So,
I have a question about that, Mark. When you were talking about the senator from Southern California putting that on the floor, where was our senator? Did he fight it? Do we know?
That was Ted Gaines, I think.
Yeah.
It was Ted Gaines. He didn't fight it.
Why would he?
I mean, no one's against it. The senator from Los Angeles told him that, and he never asked the people that lived here what they thought, because when you represent a million people, what do you care about whether a few thousand people disagree with you?
Yeah.
You vote the money, and he votes the money every time. They all vote the money every time. Because what is their goal? To serve their constituents or to get reelected?
To get reelected and to make money in the meantime.
I mean, Brian Daly, our state senator, one time said in public, I'm never going to do anything for you people in Siskiyou County because you're too much of a pain.
Well,
and there you go. He represents a million people. What does he care what we think?
Well, and also,
we can't make him.
But also, too, when you're talking about emailing and so forth, there are ways of getting around that. Hell, use their own zip code.
Well, you know, and I think we got a little off track here on this county thing because really and truly, the way the California Constitution is set up, you know, as bad as California is and as much as we need to create states within this state, you know, as much as we need to do all that, the California Constitution gives us a lot more latitude than a lot of other constitutions. In talking to the folks from Illinois and folks from Georgia yesterday, these people all wanting to do something similar to what we want to do. Some of them want to move boundaries. That's a whole different program. Blah, 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 blah. Point being is that these particular people all totally understand the fact that in California, we really have some real power in the counties, real strong power. And in Illinois, they don't have that. In fact, in Illinois, you can't even recall, you can't recall a local elected official. You just got to wait till their term is up and vote them out.
That was in Illinois?
Illinois.
Same as in Georgia?
Same as in Georgia.
Huh. Ruh-roh. So California was thinking ahead when they put that into the Constitution where we're able to do that and we're able to move forward with it. So
yeah,
we're good.
Liam said we lost you, Mark. So I don't know what happened.
I'm here.
There you are.
There you are.
I'm here. Right. I was just listening. Yeah, I mean, those things are all true, but this is what it boils down to. A lot of counties are hamstrung by the money.
Yep.
In other words, they feel personally bound to represent their communities by trying to get as much money as they can in order to pave roads and pay for the cops and do all the things that they know they need to do. And they're afraid of the state because of the money. And you know, although I say let's hold their feet to the fire, I say let's rebel and resist against the seditious government in Sacramento. Most people are not willing to do that because they feel duty-bound to their citizens to provide at least basic services, even though they know they're being hosed by the state and they're being denied funds by the state. Now, the people in San Bernardino said enough is enough. And they passed this referendum, but it has no force in law. So the next thing they're going to do is form a commission to see what can be done based upon this vote. And we could have saved them a lot of trouble. We know what can be done based upon a referendum. The answer is nothing. You simply know that you have enough of the people behind you that maybe if you decide to do something that has force of law, they might stand up with you or might stand with you.
Well, I know that.
But what we need to do is we need to declare the government of California in sedition.
How?
And we need to appeal to the United States Congress for statehood because this government is never going to change, and they're getting worse and worse and worse with crazier and crazier stuff. No petroleum-powered cars after 2030, letting pedophiles and criminals out of jail. Reducing the rape of an unconscious person to a misdemeanor.
I'm not trying to interrupt. Mark, I'm not trying to interrupt you, but we got a caller on the line, and one of the things. Why are we echoing here?
Just keep going. Keep going.
Okay. Are you still there, Mark? Because we had some technical.
I'm still
here. Point I was going to make is that I know that Siskiyou Steve has always made the comment from Siskiyou County, why don't we just withhold the funds and not send them to the state? In fact, I've got Siskiyou Steve on the line right now. Steve, what say you? We only got a couple of minutes, buddy.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to hear about Mark, very valuable to us, but I also wanted to bring something to the attention. That the ranchers up here are fighting for their water, just like the loggers were fighting for their livelihood in the forest. And it's not just here in Siskiyou County, it's all across, you know, probably the 23 counties of the state of Jefferson. So again, like Wynn mentioned, we've got to pull together the counties to fight together because the ranchers up here can't fight their water rights by themselves. We have to stand together to stand in front of the farms and the ranches that are being taken over by, you know, the illegal government that are trying to drive these people off their country.
Got it. Okay, thank you, buddy.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hey, Steve, what you need to do is you need to talk to your representative who is your board of supervisor. So go to your supervisors and rally them to do that. And if we get enough boards of supervisors in the North State to do that simultaneously, It will be known. It will be out there. We have to do that. We have to band our teams together, and our team that represents us is the Board of Supervisors. And like them or not, you have to go in there and you have to deal with them and get them to act on it. That's their job. They are there to represent you. They swore an oath to the federal constitution and the California constitution to do those things. So they have to do that. Remind them of that and use that for re-election purposes, and do not let up. Be fierce and rally people to work with you on that. Don't be a lone soldier trying to do it and being the squeaky wheel where they dismiss you. You have to have a group of people doing it nonstop every board meeting.
And he's absolutely right, Steve. I mean, that's the thing. Of course, everybody wants to help everybody else with a water issue. We all have water issues. I mean, look at ACID. We have tons of water issues everywhere, and that's true. But it's going to be your county that has to stand up. I mean, we can't come to Siskiyou County and change Siskiyou County. Siskiyou County has to change Siskiyou County. And if they don't, if the people won't rise up, I'm sure there are people there. Maybe you just haven't found them. But if they're not going to rise up, there's not anything Shasta County can do to help you in that regard.
But we could band together with our boards of supervisors with all the people together and, you know, have meetings with all these people coming together. We could do that. It's not rocket science. It's really simple. It's very basic. It's coming together to get this stuff taken care of and taking whatever action needs to be taken in order to take care of the water situations and anything else that comes down the pike.
You know, one thing that, Mark, that you did have up there was a form of media. That's kind of tough, too. There isn't, you know, God bless you and Cindy for doing that for those radio stations. But that's a very extremely difficult and hamstrung business. The government's all over it. But really and truly, there, you know, we can't exactly send 50 people from Shasta County to argue the point that we need these things to happen in Siskiyou County, because then we're just being portrayed as a mob that's going up there and trying to stand against a board of supervisors. That's the whole issue here. The counties have to get on the bandwagon in their counties, and if you don't have the people there to do it, or if the people don't want to do it,
well, I mean, nobody's asking you to, for one.
He just did.
No one else is.
All right.
I mean, we have to do what we have to do in our own backyard. That's just logic. But, you know, the point is we have to change the way state government functions, or it pretty much doesn't matter what you do in your backyard, because we have to defend ourselves against the state that we formed to secure our liberty. And they're not securing our liberty. In fact, they're giving our liberty away. They're giving it away to illegal aliens. They're giving it away by making unlawful deals with China. They're giving it away by making unconstitutional deals with neighboring states without the consent of Congress. They're giving it away by usurping funds and using them illegally, misuse of public funds. They're giving it away by lack of representation and dilution of vote. So you have an uphill battle in your own community. Yes, that's all true. But we also have to find a way to delegitimize the government that steals our liberty every single day, and part of that is through the courts. We need some kind of act to force federal judges to do their damn job, and you can't even make them do their job. Our lack of liberty goes far, 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 far beyond the borders.
The way we have to start is with the counties. There's no question about that.
Well,
it's got. It,
oh,
you
okay.
Can, okay. Well, here's
I'll
the
buy that.
Right. But well, it was your. Battle. You know, you've been talking about that for as long as I've ever known you, and you're right.
Yes.
Okay,
but
so
it's a much bigger battle.
I know it's a bigger battle, but you can't start the battle till you have ammunition in the guns. Okay, you know, I get all that. The point is that when we have a situation now where the counties are standing there and saying, literally giving the state of California the middle finger, literally giving it to them and saying, no, we're not going to do it, I wouldn't be surprised if there would be a couple of counties that may do what Steve suggested, was to hold back. Now, if in fact, hold back the money and not send it to Sacramento. The whole point of all of this is the fact you have to start somewhere, and you have to start in the county. And, yeah, the state's bad. It's really bad. It's horrible. It's awful. So we just say no, and that's where it has to start. And as you say, and you know, because you've read the California Constitution, there are things there we can do. We do have some things within that we can do. We can't – a lot of things with the state of California we can't do because – we have no attorney general, et cetera. So With that, I think we've probably got to leave that there because I'm getting music.
Yep.
Mark, awesome as usual. Thank you so much. And we'll talk and maybe have you on next week and continue this.
All right.
Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.